Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark with Charles W. Chuck Bryant and guest producer Noel.
Noel is in the house.
Yes, he is.
In the new studio.
Yeah. Man, this place is comfy, cozy.
I like it. I wish, I wish there was a chair version of a waterbed.
I know, this is a nappish little place.
Yeah, especially today. I think I'm dragging. All apologies.
Yeah, same here. So if we're talking kind of slow or low, or we just stop talking for a little while, we're just tired.
Yeah, bumped into you at the Hawks game last night.
I know. Hey,
how
how's
funny
it going?
Is that? You know.
Yeah.
Just the bump in.
Yep. We were both at the Hawks game, and the Hawks won.
Didn't even know we were going.
No.
Look over in line. There's Josh and Yumi.
Yeah.
It was great.
There's Chuck and Eddie.
Yep.
Just bumping Fast
into
Eddie.
Each other. In an arena of 18,000, bumping into someone.
Is that it? That's all it holds?
I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
It's a good. A lot of people.
It's a good arena.
Yeah, but you had box seats because you're special.
They were free.
Mine were free, too. In the nosebleeds.
Yeah. I like just about every seat in that place.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I was laughing about the nosebleeds going in. But then I got up there, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
You can see everything.
Did your nose actually bleed?
Just twice.
Yeah.
Once out of sheer excitement.
Right.
And then once from the altitude.
And that was more of a spray, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just covering everyone.
Everyone's like,
go Hawks.
Boy, what a weird intro.
It's a little weird. But, I mean, it kind of jibes a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Because we're talking, yeah. You were mentioning blood.
Sure. I was shedding cells and blood.
You were. Like, blood is made up of cells, and we shed tons of cells. But before we get to that, right, there's the fact of the podcast. You shed cells. I want to mention this one thing I read.
Yeah.
It's called, I think the title of the article is The Self is Moral. It's about, like, where we get our identity of self from, like, where it's rooted. It was written by a person named Nina Strohmeyer, I believe. It was on Aeon Magazine.
Yeah.
Just type in The Self is Moral, Aeon. It'll come up.
That'll get you there.
Toward the beginning, the author says there's this very famous philosophical exercise, which, you know, philosophers love to do, like, mental exercises.
Yeah, that's all they have.
So imagine you have, like, imagine you have, like, a ship, right?
Okay.
Like a boat.
Yeah.
A nice Yankee Clipper.
Okay.
Okay? And this Yankee Clipper is slowly over time kind of salvaged for parts.
Okay.
But rather than just being stripped, like, every time a part is taken out, it's replaced.
Yeah.
And then over the course of, like, 50, 100 years, as each plank, as each bolt, as each, like, masthead, even the thing, the carved lady in front,
yeah,
eventually just gets replaced with something else.
Yeah, a new carved lady that speaks of the time.
Right.
You know?
Is it still, though, after every single part has been replaced, the same ship that it was before?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I don't think that can be possible.
Why not? Especially if it has the same name. And it's the same ship in the same place as before. It was just slowly over time moved out.
True.
Where does the self lie?
Yeah. That's a good point, man. Like redoing a house, same thing.
Yeah.
You replace all the floors and the walls and the windows. Like, when does it cease to become that same house that was built in 1930.
Exactly. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is really cool.
And the reason that it applies to this episode is because over the course of your lifetime, a significant portion, pretty much all of the cells in your body are going to like be replaced.
Yeah.
So that the person, even after you reach your adult self,
yeah,
physically, by the time you die, assuming you're going to die much later, you are essentially a different person, at least on the cellular level.
Yeah, 37 trillion cells-ish.
That's how many we have?
Yeah, that's what they estimate. And I did a little looking into lifespans,
too. That sounds like an estimate.
37 trillion?
Yeah.
What do you want, like?
They're like, give or take.
Yeah. I did a little research into lifespans just because this all sort of comes back to, like, your death, basically, because that's all death is your cells, you know, dying little by little.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, Chuck, one of the things that...
Like, why do we die if our... We'll get to all that.
Oh, okay.
But it's intriguing, you know?
It is.
It started, you know, questions started popping up. So apparently we gain about 3 months every... 3 months of life, humanity, every year that we progress.
Like the average lifespan expands by 3 months?
Yeah, like if you were born in 2012, the average lifespan is now, and this is the United States, mm-hmm. is 78.8. Mm-hmm. If you were born in 1901, it was about 47 and 50 years for men and women, respectively. But if you look at the ratio, it's still about 3 months, despite all our technologies, 3 months a year.
Every year.
Every year.
Just slowly creeping along.
Yeah, because I think the article, it was like, when we're going to live to be 100 by average. And they say by the year 2100, if things hold, mm-hmm. then the average human or American will be about 100 years old.
I thought that, so I guess that's
we'll live to be 100.
If things are steadily progressing. I had heard that like our generation would be either the last or the first, the last to not hit triple digits or the first two.
On average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess
and these are all
off.
Guesses, you know.
Yeah.
So who knows? Plus, if you believe in like things speeding, science speeding up.
Yeah. What is that? Moore's Law?
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Applied to computers, though, in that case, right?
Right. But I mean, you can extend it to other stuff.
Yeah. Then you might think, you know, it's, but, you know, they say it's not increasing like that.
No.
At least not so far.
Moore's Law is exponential growth. Just adding 3 months every year is non-exponential. Is geometric?
I think we're still at non-exponential growth.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We're just adding 3 months.
Yeah. It's not bad, though.
That's a pretty good average. Every 4 years, that's an extra year.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting to think about, you know, people that were born, you know, a lot of our colleagues, like 8 years behind us, mm-hmm. are going to live an average of 2 years longer.
Yeah. That seems unfair.
Sad.
Yeah.
I know. What did they do to
so
deserve that?
we're thinking about our own deaths today.
Yeah.
And Chuck, there's this rumor, theory, legend maybe?
Okay.
That your body regenerates itself. 95% of your body regenerates itself every year.
Yeah, that's not true.
No, it's not true. But it was a very long-standing rumor, and it was actually based on science.
Yeah.
You know, not just the idea that, oh, yeah, our cells regenerate. So back of the envelope estimate is that, you know, we regenerate 95 or 98% of our cells every year.
Mm-hmm.
It was early experimentation by injecting radioactive isotopes into human beings.
Yeah.
And then following their course and then making estimates based on that. Led to this idea.
It's called pulse labeling.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like tagging an animal in the wild, basically.
Right, but you're just tagging a cell.
Yeah.
Or specific types of cells.
Yeah, they don't do that to humans anymore.
No.
They do it to animals, I think.
It's a very dumb thing to do.
Sure. Injecting radiation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you know, it's radiation treatment.
That's true.
Which is still a really weird thing, if you think about it.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be like one of those things we look back on.
As like a primitive treatment?
Yeah.
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 I hope so.
But there was this longstanding science for decades, or this idea, scientific idea, that we regenerated ourselves by 95, 98%. Finally, in I think 2005, there was a researcher named Dr. Jonas Friesen. He's Swedish.
This dude's awesome.
He said, this whole urban legend is really bringing me down. I want to figure out a way to really track how often the human body regenerates itself.
Yeah, and the biggest question has been the brain, specifically the cerebral cortex, mm-hmm. and the heart and the heart muscles. I mean, they want to know all this stuff, but those were the two biggest mysteries, I think.
Right. There's still the mysteries, but if you went back to prior to 2005 and Dr. Friesen's research, it was all a mystery.
Yeah.
He figured out, he basically put a very accurate timestamp on how often human tissue and human cells regenerate themselves,
yeah.
right? So the way he did this is very clever. For a long time, botanists knew that the trees around the world contained a spike of carbon-14 radiation.
Yes, thanks to humans and nuclear bombs.
Exactly. From 1954 to 1963, tree rings for tree growth around the world show a big spike in carbon-14. Carbon-14 is naturally occurring, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, just cosmic rays from the sun bombard Earth's atmosphere and create radioactive isotopes by knocking electrons from particles in Earth's atmosphere,
yeah.
right? Those radioactive particles become carbon-14, which
That's
is
right.
radioactive. And in the atmosphere, carbon-14 binds to oxygen and creates carbon dioxide.
That's right.
Which comes to Earth. Every living thing breathes this stuff in, whether it's a plant, whether it's a human.
Yeah.
Like, we just have C14 in our bodies.
And we also eat plants.
Exactly.
That contain the C14 besides breathing it in.
And we also eat the animals that eat the plants that ingest C14, right?
Yeah. Some
so
people
like
do.
We got carbon-14 in our bodies.
That's right.
But because of this spike in carbon-14 that was introduced to the atmosphere from nuclear testing,
yeah.
There is a spike in humans as well. So you can roughly age like a human compared to another human if they were born in, say, 1959, and one who was born in 1970 after there was that spike of carbon-14 had gone away, right?
Right.
That's pretty cool. But what Dr. Friesen did is even cooler. He basically went back to those tree trunks, those tree rings that show a spike in carbon-14.
Yeah.
And created a calendar.
I know, it's awesome.
Of carbon-14 decay, and basically said, okay, on this date, mm-hmm. this is how much carbon-14 was on Earth.
Yeah.
And if I take this cell and compare it, knowing that carbon-14 decays at a constant rate,
yeah.
I can tell you exactly how old this cell is.
Exactly.
And he used it to date cells and tissues and all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, he went looking for a marker, and he found one due to our atomic testing program.
Yeah.
Which is pretty weird.
Yeah.
Just released all that junk in the atmosphere, and now, all these years later, it has a nice use.
Yeah.
You know?
It does.
So we now know when we're going to die.
Right.
Sort of.
And the reason he was able to use this as a marker, Chuckers, is that when you take a breath of life, your first breath of life.
That's right.
And you get some of that C14 into your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And a steady amount stays in there. Like, you don't keep ingesting C14, as far as I understand, as far as your DNA goes.
Oh, okay.
Once it's in your DNA, as your cells divide,
yeah.
that original amount becomes divided evenly.
Right.
So the less C14 that's in tissue, the older that cell line is.
Right.
Or the younger the actual cells are.
Right.
Is that right?
I think so, which would mean the new cell, the marker would be a fresh batch of the C14?
No, it'd have less C14.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let's say you have...
Oh, because the cell divided, yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have 10 grams of C14, which you don't.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that would be like. But let's say your one cell that's never divided has 10.
Yeah.
When it divides into two, it's each of those two cells is going to have 5 grams.
Right.
And then 2.5, and then 1.75, and so on and so on. So since you know that C14 is generated at a constant rate, you know that it decays at a half-life of 5,730 years.
Yeah.
it, you can look at the amount of C14 and then also the decay of it as well.
Yeah.
You can date things that are no longer living too to see when the when they ingested that C14 was.
Yeah, he's a little like a bingo card. He just from the calendar that he made with the trees, mm-hmm. and he holds it up in the light, and that's how he determines it. It's not true. But what he did determine, though, was, which is really cool, and this is sort of what we've been building toward, is that most of your cells are about 7 to 10 years old.
Yes.
In the body. And there are variances, and of course we're going to talk about all that. And right after this break, we're going to give you a little primer on cells so you know what all this means.
Right.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
You know, Chuck, the first cell phone was demonstrated all the way back in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated?
What's that?
Shared plans.
Interesting. You know, over 50 years later, you can save on one line now thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included.
Yeah, that's true. No hidden fees. Really. And you can save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. It's 2024, so get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcometonow.
All right, Josh. We were promised to sell primer, and we like to deliver on those promises here at Stuff You Should Know. So I guess we started off by saying there are 37 trillion cells about in the human body.
Yeah, give or take.
Give or take. And water makes up about two-thirds the weight of those cells.
Oh, yeah?
That's right. They're tiny. You need a microscope to see them. And it's like it's the tiniest thing that can still reproduce.
Yeah.
And even though we have many different kinds of cells, I think 200 types, and it, within those cells there are differences, but there are a lot of similarities with all cells.
Right.
In their structure. Namely, they have a cell membrane.
They have a nucleus.
They have a nucleus. Some have more than one. And these membranes are what allows nutrients to pass in and out, waste to pass out. Water through osmosis travels in.
Mm-hmm.
Reverse osmosis travels out.
Yeah.
And what else? We got your mitochondrion as well. That's where this is the important, really important thing, which is basically what keeps your cells alive.
That's the power center, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, your cells need food to live just like your body does, but you can't pass that hamburger straight into your cell.
Right.
It needs to be broken down so your cell can use it.
Exactly. Into what? Adenosine triphosphate, ATP, is like the universal cell fuel, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that the body does make. I think you need 23 amino acids, and like 9 of them your body doesn't really manufacture. So those are the 9 non-essential amino acids, right?
Right.
And you use amino acids to build proteins, and use proteins for everything from making muscles to making red blood cells to you're mounting an immune response. Proteins are very, very vital. And some of them you have to build by eating stuff from your environment, right?
Yeah.
So you go out and you find yourself a nice pig, and you cut off its back leg. You say, sorry, pig, here's a peg leg for you, but I need this leg. And I'm going to eat this leg, and what I'm really eating is the muscle. And what I'm really, really eating is the glutamine.
Yeah.
And my body's going to take this glutamine. It can make it itself, but it doesn't hurt to have an extra little bit of glutamine.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to have that pig leg in your
exactly,
back pocket.
Right. So I'm chomping on the pig leg, eating
sorry
the
to
pig's
our
muscles.
Vegetarian listeners, by the way.
Right, just use your imagination for a second.
Sure.
And yes, I'm sorry, too.
Yeah.
So you're eating the pig leg, and you're gaining this glutamine as a result, and your body's metabolizing the glutamine and then reusing it, right?
Yeah.
And it can be glutamine. It can be anything. If we're ingesting a protein, if we're ingesting amino acids, if we're eating any kind of food, sugars, whatever, our bodies break it down into its constituent parts. And then a lot of those constituent parts become part of our bodies.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, in this sense, when we eat, when we breathe, we're taking in stuff we need from the environment.
Yeah.
And that stuff that we take in from the environment becomes a part of us, literally, physically, on the molecular level.
Yeah.
It becomes a part of us.
For better or worse, depending on what it is, of course.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately one of the side lessons of this whole thing is we should take care of our environment.
Yeah.
Because that environment becomes us, and we either suffer or thrive as a result of it.
You ever heard the expression, you are what you eat?
Exactly.
You know, literally are what you eat.
Quite literally. And then also, Chuck, it goes the other way as well. When we excrete waste, when we exhale CO2,
yeah,
that's taken up by other things in the environment. It's deposited into the environment, and it becomes part of the environment itself.
Yeah.
So not only do we regenerate our cells, regenerate tissue, on average 7 to 10 years, become almost wholly a new version of ourselves.
Yeah.
We also, the boundary between us and the surrounding environment is really non-existent because there's a constant exchange of molecules.
Yeah, we lose, on average, they say, the average adult male loses 96 million cells per minute. But we also replace those at the rate of 96 million per minute.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the good news.
So we've got all these cells that we're losing. We've got all these new cells that are replacing them. And I think, like you said earlier before the break, that the different types of cells, and then hence different tissues, regenerate at a different rate, right?
Yeah, and they all have specialized jobs, and the cells are often built in such a way to aid that job physically, you know, different to make that job easier, which is really cool too.
Right.
Shows how versatile they are.
Yes.
You know?
Like stem cells are very versatile.
Super.
So let's say your skin.
Yeah.
Your skin regenerates every 2 to 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah, so exactly.
You get a new healthy coating of skin every 2 to 4 weeks because your epithelial cells are particularly good at regenerating themselves.
That's right. And that is, I guess that would fall on the low side, obviously, if we're talking 7 to 10 years. On the super low side, you have the cells that line like your intestine and your gut.
Mm-hmm.
And those things don't last long at all because it's such a harsh environment. You know, you wouldn't expect them to last like weeks and months and years.
Yeah. I think
how long is it?
5 days.
Yeah, that's nothing.
But the structure of your guts, the that are beneath that membrane lining that turns over every 5 days, they last about 15 years.
Yeah, it's such a like a beautiful, elegant system.
Yeah.
That we have
right.
to keep us alive. Red blood cells last about 120 days, but then you have things like cells in your bone, which actually regenerate as well. So your bones are over time, over a much longer period of time, actually becoming, I mean, I hate to call them new bones, but they kind of are, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, compare if you took your femur and somehow compared it to your femur when you were 15
yeah.
years old, like they are two totally different bones. Even though they're yeah. your bones,
yeah.
they were in the same place growing in the same person with the same DNA, they're still different bones because
yeah, that's
they're made of different cells.
10 years or so for the bones?
Yeah, something like that.
For the human skeleton? 300 to 500 days for the liver? Very important organ.
It is. And one of the other cool things about the liver is it's just gangbusters at regenerating itself.
Yeah.
You can apparently cut out 95% of a person's liver and it will grow back. And you won't have full function, but it will function. You'll
yeah.
survive with just 5% of your liver.
That's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, because it will just grow right back. Kind of like a hornet's nest.
Interestingly, the inner lens cells of your eye form in your embryo and basically don't change.
Yeah.
Now, is that why you have suffer from degeneration and mm-hmm. vision?
That's what I would guess.
Is that the reason?
Yeah.
Or
so,
one of the reasons?
So with the corneal lens, Chuck, when you're born, when you're conceived, right, you are a cell.
Gross.
That divides yeah. finally. And once that first division takes place, those corneal cells, they're set in stone. Like your corneal cells are as old as you are.
Yeah.
Same age as you.
Almost,
other cells
yeah.
that make up different parts of the eyes, they're far newer. But your corneal cells, your cerebral cortex cells, they think?
Yeah, that's the one. I mentioned the brain and the heart muscles. Those are the two big ones because obviously the reason we have diseases like Alzheimer's mm-hmm. and dementia mm-hmm. are because the cerebral cortex has long thought to not regenerate cells at all.
Yeah.
Now I think they believe that they do in a very small number.
Or different regions, like the olfactory bulb supposedly does.
Yeah, and the hippocampus.
So we can learn new things. Our sense of smell can be refined over time.
Yeah, and I think isn't that also the reason the smell is very much tied to your memory?
Probably.
Like a smell can conjure up a memory more clearly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the cerebral cortex itself, they don't think, who was her name? Elizabeth Gould of Princeton did a lot of work on this because it was just basically set in stone for years. Like, no, doesn't happen. And, she did a lot of work over the years trying to prove, that it did, using tracer studies. And I think that where they are now is they think it does some.
Yeah. Here, there.
Here, there. But obviously, we still have to mention Alzheimer's, so it's not, it doesn't regenerate like the rest of the body, not even close.
Yeah, Alzheimer's also may be produced, I guess, by plaques. Remember plaque buildup?
Oh, yeah.
In between your neurons that keep them from firing as well?
Yeah.
That's.
It seems like we're so close to figuring out mm-hmm. the secret, you know?
Yeah.
To, I don't know about not dying ever. I'm not talking immortality, but living much longer lives.
Well, let's talk about that because all of this stuff kind of leads to that question. If we regenerate so often, why do we die? And we'll address that right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
You know, Chuck, the first cell phone was demonstrated all the way back in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated?
What's that?
Shared plans.
Interesting. You know, over 50 years later, you can save on one line now thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included.
Yeah, that's true. No hidden fees. Really. And you can save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. It's 2024, so get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcometonow.
All right, so Chuck, there's this idea that if we are regenerating ourselves every 7 to 10 years, where like the vast majority of our body's cells regenerate, why do we age, and why do we die? It doesn't really make sense in that respect.
Yeah, it's what they think is it has to do with your DNA actually in the cell. Our cells, as we age, even the new ones that get replaced, which really stinks.
Yeah.
Become what they call senescent, which means that they can't divide any longer. We've talked about the Hayflick limit before, replicative senescence is basically how many times your cells can divide over its lifetime.
Yeah.
And I think like a fibroblast, which is cells of the connective tissue in mammals, is about 50 cell divisions.
Yeah.
And then it hits that point of senescence and it starts sending out repair signals to your body that aren't necessary, and that causes inflammation. And we've talked about inflammation kind of being the source of most of the original problems that will eventually lead to your death.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Something becomes inflamed and leads to all kinds of problems, so there's no repair needed. So it's a false signal. So they're trying to come up with drugs now. There's one called rapamycin that tries to stop the cells from sending out those false signals, which is amazing.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
You know?
There's another explanation for it as well, is that when our cells divide, especially over time as we age, they're basically making photocopies of themselves.
Yeah.
And you ultimately, years down the road, end up making photocopies of photocopies.
Right.
And those don't tend to pan out very well. So as far as analogies go, that one kind of makes sense. That, yes, we have brand new cells, but the DNA copies, the DNA blueprints that they're based on, it have seen better days.
Yeah.
Many years back, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good way to say it. We also talked a little bit about whether or not the heart muscle itself replenishes itself in the cells. And for a long time, they had no idea. But now, thanks to our buddy, Dr. Frisson, he is pretty much, I don't even think we said what his, who he works with, did we?
No.
He works with the Karolinska team.
Oh, yeah.
Just like incredible scientists that are making like amazing advancements and trying to figure this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
But they did, in fact, find that the heart does replace itself, the muscle cells. About 1% of the heart muscles are replaced every year at age 25.
Mm-hmm.
And that falls over your lifetime to less than 0.5%
per
year by the age 75.
I spoke too soon. That does make sense.
Yeah. So what they basically said is about half of your heart's muscle cells will be exchanged during a normal lifetime.
Okay.
Which is okay.
It is, but as it's slowing down over time, I mean, the heart's kind of essential.
Yeah, but they're hoping, again, to develop drugs that can accelerate that process, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far along they are on that, but that'd be amazing.
So there's this whole thing that kind of came up to me, man, like that I don't – all of this raises this question to me, right?
Yeah.
If you look at, like, you or me or any living thing as – as an investment, like a molecular investment in the ability to reproduce, right?
Okay.
Once you finish your reproductive age,
yeah,
then it does make sense that you would just kind of, there would be built in this mechanism of aging and then death and then decay, which is what we do.
Yeah.
We return back to the earth, to put it in kind of biblical terms. There's like that whole ashes to ashes, dust to dust thing.
Sure.
It is very, very true. And if you look at us and you look at all living things as something that exchanges molecules with the external environment, takes them in, puts them out,
mm-hmm.
right? And you look at us as all connected in that sense.
Yeah, like we're just like a plant.
Exactly, or we're just like a rock.
Yeah,
like we're all that stuff, and those things are us because we're able to exchange basic ingredients. Then it makes total sense that a person would come together, be conceived, start dividing his cells, you know, make more of itself, and then start to age, and then die and decay.
Yeah,
and then it would give something else a chance to come up from that again, right?
Sure.
But then it makes you wonder, what's the point of that?
What do you mean?
Like, think about it. If we're just the same as plants.
Like, why are we all here?
Yeah. Like, if the whole point is to just basically recycle materials, mm-hmm. because we are just recycling stuff from the environment and we're recycled as we die and decay.
Yeah.
What is the point? Is our point just to be part of the carbon cycle? So we're moving carbon in and out of ourselves and in and out of the environment and moving it around.
Yeah.
Or I don't understand what the point is of life, I guess, is what I'm saying.
You're a nihilist.
No, I'm not saying I don't believe that there isn't a point. I'm just curious what it is.
Yeah.
Because if we are the same as any other living thing,
mm-hmm.
and the definition of living is an exchange with an active exchange with the surrounding environment through breathing,
sure.
through eating, whatever.
Eating, pooping.
Yes. Then, and then... if you kind of take that a little further and say, well, clearly we're meant to like reproduce or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then after that we age and die, what's the point? Like, why not just have one species of living thing?
Yeah.
And just let that do all of your carbon recycling or whatever.
Yeah. I think, are you about to quit the show? I see what you mean. Like, if we look at ourselves as a purely mechanical, serving a purely mechanical function,
right.
on the planet.
Like we are to the carbon cycle what, say, evaporation is to the rain cycle.
Yeah.
Like we're a means of moving something along.
Well, I think that's when you, man, this is getting philosophical. I think that's when you start getting into questions of the soul.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes you wonder, like, well, why would there be more than one species? It would be much more efficient to just have one, maybe two. There's all these different ones. So why?
Yeah.
The fact that why is just sitting there and flashing neon lights definitely made me wonder. Basically the opposite. It's made me think in a different direction than nihilistically.
Right.
You know?
Like we're only here for so long, and so if there, the point is to, like, make the most of your time on
Earth?
Well,
I think that's a separate
okay.
part of it.
Yeah.
Because no matter what conclusion you come to, whether, nope, we're just a means of recycling carbon and that is it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Gaia theory view of things.
Right.
Or if you say, no, like the fact that we're inefficient and redundant as far as that carbon recycling thing goes
yeah.
suggests that maybe there is a higher purpose to us. either way, I feel like you come to the conclusion, or you should come to the conclusion, that the one thing we do know is that we are here right now, and the best thing we can do is make the absolute best of it for ourselves and for other people as well.
Yeah, and there are probably others out there that think the whole point is to make as much cash as you can so you can buy products.
Yeah.
Edward Bernays would probably say that.
Yes, he would. Man, he lived that way, didn't he?
Man, that's interesting. I think we should, I'd love to tackle something philosophical and deep like the soul.
The meaning of life?
Yeah, that'd be tough. I mean,
that'd be cool, though.
It would be cool. We don't delve into that very much.
No, we should. I'd like to do that and consciousness. That's a really interesting one, too. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I sense a very trippy way forward for this show.
Yeah.
We're going to start getting weird.
Well, I took a lot of acid this morning, so.
Oh, that's great.
If you want to know more about some just weird, trippy stuff, How Stuff Works has a surprising amount of it on there. I don't know. Just try typing the word trippy into the search bar. You can also type, does your body really replace itself every 7 years? And it'll bring up this cool article. And I think I said search bar at some point in time, so how about some listener mail?
I like how you specified that you took a lot of acid. Not just, you know,
just a little.
Yeah.
Just a lot.
A ton of it. All right. I'm going to call this multiple. We got like a bunch of emails in one day about people picking at our grammar and things.
Oh, yeah.
So I just decided to read three of them because they're short.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I generally enjoy the episodes, but... you do have one issue with your grammar and noun-verb agreement. You tend to say, there are many lines of evidence, or there's lots of experiments showing, instead of there are, not there is.
Boo.
When the pronoun refers to a plural subject, check yourselves next time, guys. You typically make the mistake about 10 times every show.
Why don't you go recycle some carbon, pal?
That's from Ken Keller in Temple Terrace, Florida.
Thanks, Ken.
I always like to pick apart their emails, too, about because people usually make a mistake or two in their own emails.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, this one's from Blair. Love the show. I hate to be nitpicky.
They always say that, don't they?
Yeah, right before they nitpick. But I have a grammar correction. It's been bugging me for months, and Stonehenge was a major offender. At least one of you, not naming names, frequently uses the word further when you really mean farther. The latter term is used for literal distances. Further is only supposed to be used figuratively.
Huh.
Didn't know that.
Okay.
So thanks, Blair.
Yeah.
And then the last one, Phil, who is an English and grammar pronunciation freak. He says, hey guys, when there's an Italian word, you take your time to pronounce it properly. The same with Japanese and the Far East in general. So why don't you extend that same courtesy to English words?
Because we're masters of the language.
And I mean words actually in the UK vernacular, not American English. Salisbury? No, it's Salisbury. The Marlborough Downs? Nope. Marlborough Downs.
Well, we're using the American vernacular because we're in America and recording as Americans.
That's from Phil.
I addressed all those, I think.
Yeah, I think that's, I feel good about it.
I think it's good and very big of you to have read those as listener mail.
Why not?
Nice job, man.
Yeah, we don't profess to talk gooder than other people. We just do our little thing here in the studio.
Yeah.
Send it out into the world.
Nice.
For people to pick apart.
What we're doing is we're creating grammatical tableaus like that Highlights magazine where it's like pick out the things that don't belong.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing for you guys.
Yeah. Keep you entertained. If you didn't have something to complain about, it'd just be so boring.
Yep. If you want to nitpick or compliment or suggest something, whatever, if you want to get in touch with us for any reason, you can do that by tweeting to SYSK Podcast. You can join us on facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals,
No microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit RichardsRainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's RichardsRainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richards Rainwater.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.